Well, we've just concluded the Open Colon Golf Tournament. It was the 23rd annual, and I am actually here with the organizer, Mr. Al Leone. Hey, Al.
Hey, Scott.
And it's we're actually in the car heading back over.
Ford!
Sorry. Yeah, kind of get in that mode, and you kind of forget about that. Now, this year is the 23rd, and we had more people, you said, here than in previous years.
I think this year we had a turnout of 32 people. We had two different countries represented, Canada and the U.S. I haven't done a count of how many different states showed up, but in past years we've had golfers from Germany and
Japan. I played with Osaka.
Right. So it's just a fun outing to start the convention.
It really is, and I think we were just talking about how that there are, the only other convention I can think of that has a golf tournament would be the Effectors Finger Flicking Frolic.
I've played in that one, too.
Yeah, me too, but I can't think of others. I've attended a lot of other conventions, but we're probably missing something, but I'm sure there's some others. Now, you've been coming down here for Abbott's get-together for how many years?
39 in a row.
In a row?
Yep, I hate to say that I was 15 at the first one I attended.
You do the math.
If you do the math, wait for it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to step on that.
That's okay.
So, you make it an intent to come here. I mean, if you make sure you don't have any other engagements and performances anywhere.
Well,
make time for this.
Don't tell Lori, but if somebody calls to book me for this week, I usually double or triple the price so that they have to say no.
Yeah. And why is it that you keep coming back?
It's the people. It's the people. Growing up with the likes of Harry Blackstone Jr., Carol Fox, Ab Dixon.
Duke Stern.
I missed Duke by a year. Duke passed away in 73, and 74 was my first get-together. But after a while, you start getting to know the people, and you become very close to them. It was very close to the Conklin family. The Bordners are dear friends. You come back because I call it my family reunion, my once-a-year family.
I also want to talk to you about the cemetery tour. You've kind of taken charge of that. I know that you've been conducting tours for years, and for those who don't know that, there are it's a final resting grounds for many celebrated magicians. Do you want to give us a kind of a little rundown of this? How you got involved in all this?
Well, the quick synopsis is that there are 27 magicians buried at Lakeside Cemetery, about a mile outside of the city limits of Colon. And on Friday nights, Carol Fox and a group of his merry mirth makers would go to visit Duke Stern's grave, and they would sit around his grave and tell Dukey stories. And if you ever heard Carol Fox or Ab Dixon tell a story, just the delivery itself is hilarious. And every year they would drag along, three or four or five added magicians to hear the stories,
yeah.
So the stories would never be forgotten. And I'm not sure what year, but Carol took my best buddy Jeff Bibbick from Chicago and me on a private tour during the day. The reason was there was a film crew in town and they wanted to film Carol telling some of the stories. So he invited us to join him. In, I think, 2008, Hank Morehouse told me that, in essence, Carol was handing down the mantle, and now that he was gone, would I be interested in conducting the tours as part of the convention? And obviously I was very flattered and honored and immediately said yes. So this will be our fifth annual tour of the magicians' grave sites at Lakeside Cemetery.
It was shortly thereafter that Carol died, wasn't it?
Carol passed before that.
I was going to say, it was before 08. So who had asked you then to take that over?
Oh, I thought I said Hank Morehouse.
You did say Hank. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nobody was doing it.
No.
Between the time of
Carol. That's not true. But
I guess that's where I was. Okay.
Okay. What had happened was after Carol's passing, we tried to get Ab to conduct the visit, but he couldn't. And Jerry Conklin basically took over as the tour director, but it was mostly for the immediate family. But what I mean by immediate family are the regulars that come year after year. Jack Gwynn's grandkids would join the tour, and a group of us annual get-together attendees. And, of course, we would ask a new person or two, but it was basically a lot of friends visiting past deceased friends, and that was done at Friday at midnight. So when Hank asked me to do this in 2008, Jerry was already getting up there in age, and he said that it would be difficult for him to walk the grounds of the cemetery in the heat. And with his blessing, he said, okay, Al, it's your turn. So it actually went from Carol to Jerry, from Jerry to me.
And the reason that the cemetery got started, I guess it all goes back to Blackstone users who used to come to Cullen to begin with. And during the summer, I guess, in order to rework his props and to work on new illusions and everything, and he eventually died and wanted to stay here.
Well, the main reason we're all here today is because of Blackstone Jr. Had Blackstone Jr. not moved here in 1926, this convention could have been happening in Battle Creek or Kalamazoo.
Junior?
I'm sorry, senior.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say junior?
Yeah.
Well, I knew junior. I did not know senior. So if it wasn't for Harry Sr. moving to Cullen in 1924 and then inviting Percy Abbott to come visit, relax, do some fishing, that's in 1934, Percy Abbott started the Abbott's Magic Manufacturing Company. So it's because of Harry Blackstone Sr. that we're here right now. 1942 was the first year a magician was interred in the cemetery, but we're not sure whether it was Ted Banks or, Skippy L'Amour. They both died in the year of 1942, so they were the first magicians to be buried at Lakeside Cemetery.
Were they vaudeville magicians? I'm not familiar with them.
They were both vaudeville magicians. At one point, they both worked for the Harry Blackstone Sr. show, either as advance men or stage managers. So, they had a showbiz background. But I think the reason they did end up in Cullen is because at one point they worked in some capacity for Harry Blackstone Sr.
Now, with the advent, obviously, of the Internet and people carrying iPads and everything, have you decided or do you have maps? I remember a few years ago that they had, like, just hard copy papered maps. I mean, is there something that you have a link that people can go to and see a map of the cemetery, maybe pictures of the grave sites, pictures of the magicians? Or have you gone that far yet to actually?
I believe there's something like that on the Abbott website,
okay,
which is abbottmagic.com, ABBOTTMAGIC, abbottmagic.com. There is a link to the cemetery. It shows the grave sites and just a sentence or two history of the magician who was laid to rest there. I know that the Cullen Historical Society does put out a printed piece of paper with a map of who is buried where. And what that course, there are numbers that are at each grave site that correspond to this map, so you can read a little bit about the person who was buried there.
And I said there are a couple of people that you mentioned that I had not heard of before, vaudeville magicians, but can you give us the names of just a few of the celebrated departed?
Well, absolutely. Harry Blackstone, Harry Blackstone Jr., and Harry Blackstone III are buried here. So we have three generations of Blackstone buried at the cemetery. Pete Bouton, who is Harry's brother, he's buried here with his wife. Duke Stern, if you're older, you would remember Duke. More closer to our age, well, not our age, but in our generation, would be Carol Fox. Bob Lund, who founded the American Museum of Magic in Marshall, Michigan. Jerry Conklin, the Gwynn family, Ann and Jack Gwynn are both buried here. Boy, I'm going to miss somebody. I'm going to feel bad.
Monk Watson.
Monk Watson is buried here. Riesel Bordner, who became Percy Abbott's partner in 1934, is buried here.
I know, it goes on and on.
It does.
Of course, Hank Morehouse. And
well, Hank, well, we just lost Hank last year, July 2nd of 2011. He's buried here. So,
Have a gravesite already picked out.
I have a gravesite already picked out. I will be right next to Don Allen, and in the future, Norm Nielsen and Lupe will be on my other side. So Lori and I will have good company for eternity.
Does the price of the plot go up each year? I mean, is it like real estate, or is it? Tell how much it costs for?
Well, originally you could not get a plot unless you were a resident of Cullen. If you were, Greg Bordner would give up his plot to somebody, or Jerry Conklin would purchase a plot in his name, and that's the way out the Cullen people who lived outside of Colon were able to be buried here. Then in 1999, Gabe Fujiri wrote a wonderful article for Magic Magazine called The Last Get-Together. Greg Bordner went to the console and got them to give us 50 plots where you did not have to get approval from the city fathers. If a resident was paying $350 for a plot, non-residents were able to buy the plot for $500, but they didn't have to go through the headache of being approved, voted on, and so there are plots available. It is through the township offices that you would have to call, and you would be able to purchase a plot at the cemetery.
So there's some open spaces still available?
Yes, there are. I've been talking to Tom Mullica. He's planning on reserving a couple of plots here in town. Several others have mentioned that they are considering doing it also.
There you go. Well, we've arrived at the high school gymnasium, and it's almost time for Gabe Fujiri's first lecture of the convention to get started over here. So there you go. Al, thank you very much.
I appreciate
your time, and thanks also for doing all the tours and everything you do. It's
my
great.
My pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
That was Al Leone. Scotty out. All right, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Warden. Here we are on, what is this, Tuesday night? Wednesday night. Wednesday night, overlooking the lake. And we are sitting here about to have dinner, and I'm here with Brian Miller. Hey, Brian.
Hello. Hello, Scott. Nice to see you again.
It's wonderful, sir, to see you then as well. I just finished playing the golf tournament today in the Open Colon.
How did you get on?
Pretty well. I shot a 90, which was not bad for me. I haven't played in a couple of years, so I feel like that I stroked the ball pretty well.
Is that 18 holes?
18, all, yeah. Yep, I made all 18. Thank you very much. We had about 32 people, so it was a fun tournament here today.
Okay.
The weather's been gorgeous. Now, is this your first Abbott's get-together?
No, it's not my first Abbott's. I came here, I think it was 2007, mm-hmm. when Alan Shaxson and then came here.
Was he on the bill? Was he performing?
He was on the bill, mm-hmm. and we came to keep him company, and I discovered that this convention is like no other.
It is. You know, I was talking with Al Leone earlier today about how that it seems like each convention has its own character, you know, or personality. You know, when you would go to... Now, I've not been to a British Ring convention, and we'll get to that in a moment, but I assume that that is certainly different from this, which is different than the 4F convention or Magic Live or SAM convention. They're all a little bit different, wouldn't you say?
Yes, most definitely. It's that we've been away from home for a long, long time because we visited the IBM convention in Norfolk, Virginia.
Which was July the 17th or something like that?
Yeah. And then we did go home because that was the time of FISM.
Oh, that's right. So you turned around and went back then to Blackpool, yeah.
Yeah, and then we came back here. No, but then we went to Las Vegas to the SAM convention.
So you flew back to the UK and then came back to the US?
Yes.
Goodness, okay. So you got a cheap flight.
And, well, I don't know about
jumping the pond.
We went home to cut the grass, and someone said, wouldn't it have been cheaper to have paid someone to have cut the grass? No, we went home because we didn't feel that staying away from home for 5 to 6 weeks. There's so many things we have to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then we flew back to Vegas to the SAM convention, which I thought was extremely good, and then came straight on here on Saturday.
What was the highlight for the SAM convention for you?
The SAM convention for me was probably the interview with David Copperfield.
Now, Stan Allen did that?
Stan Allen did the interview,
mm-hmm.
And I've not seen David Copperfield since 1990 when we came over here.
Mm-hmm.
With Tony Shelley and Paul Stone and myself, we arranged a trip of 140 people.
And that was when Tony was president.
Tony was president, that's right.
Right.
And we went to... The convention was in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Then we went to Hollywood and the Magic Castle and mm-hmm. Universal Studios and stayed at the Mirage Hotel, which had just been opened, I believe, 6 months before.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the Siegfried and Roy show, which was fantastic. And then the following night, we went to the Copperfield show. And we didn't get to meet Copperfield because we just filed past him.
Okay.
He was...
kind of like greeting the Queen.
Exactly, exactly. And what a difference in that 20 years.
Yes.
Well, obviously he had a certain persona at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was much more friendly,
mm-hmm.
if that's the right way.
Hmm.
And he came round the dealers. He came round the dealers for a couple of days while I was in Las Vegas. The other highlight was the Matt King show.
Great show.
Fielding West, his lecture was superb. The Stars of Tomorrow show, these are the ones which I remember.
They suggest you park up at the top and save these seats for last. Yeah. Somebody trying to park over here. So.
Yeah.
Stars of Tomorrow, you said.
Stars of Tomorrow was superb.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to say anything negative about UK. I just wish we had the kind of people teaching the youngsters like you've probably got over here. I know it's a much wider space. You've got so many states, so many assemblies to treating these youngsters.
Now, you were the president of the IBM ring.
Yes.
Correct? The UK ring, the British ring.
Yeah.
And that has, what, like 1,500 members or something? Or?
We are the largest ring in the world. We don't have 1,500 members anymore. We're down to about 1,200.
Okay.
Well, I think that we're still the biggest ring.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And so when you have your conventions, do they always have them in Eastbourne? As I recall, they used to have them there. Do they still hold them at the...
No, we've alternated between Eastbourne and Southport.
Okay.
Over the last 14, 15 years. But those two venues have become very expensive.
I would think every place is becoming expensive.
Purely because we don't get the number
conventioneers
anymore.
Hey there, Gene Anderson.
So we've had to pick a place which we went to in 1981 and 1991, which is Great Yarmouth.
Okay.
Which is on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
When I approached them 18 months ago, they were delighted that we were coming back. Obviously, new people there are in the tourist board offices.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir.
But they are bending over backwards to supply us with all our needs.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that we get enough commissioners to sort of make it worthwhile.
Are you finding in the UK, and I know they have a lot of conventions in different places around the country, as we do here at the US, a decline in membership, in attendance?
Yes.
Seems like registration has dropped in the US. Is it the same in the UK?
Absolutely. And I think the main reason for that is not just the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that there are so many one-day conventions and weekend conventions. See, going back many, many years, there was just the British Ring and the Blackpool Convention.
That's right.
But now there are many others.
Well, Macmillan had his one-day convention, which has been expanded.
That's another one. That's right, yes. And, of course, with the youngsters today, I feel that they probably sit in their bedroom on the computer looking for a particular effect.
Right.
They can see it demonstrated.
Exactly.
They can then email the dealer.
Mm-hmm. Find the best price.
Yeah, the dealer sends it out. He doesn't even have to leave his workshop. He doesn't even have to attend it.
Correct.
We're finding the number of dealers are dropping as well.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Now, are you finding an increase, you think, in the UK with online dealers?
Oh, yes.
Considerably,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. As a matter of Books by Post and, several others who are doing that, but I'm assuming some of the mainline people like Davenport's and others obviously have their own websites now.
Well, we're very fortunate this year. We've got Davenport's coming back. They've been absent for quite a while, and we've managed to persuade them to deal.
Okay.
We've got Mark Mason coming back over from...
Blackpool. He lives here in the U.S. now.
Florida way or where he lives.
Right.
And I consider Mark Mason is probably the best demonstrator on the planet.
He is, yeah. He can draw a crowd.
He can draw... Well, wherever we see him, he draws the crowd.
He does.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to Yarmouth because... It's my convention.
Yes.
I mean, I was president back in 83, 84.
So you turn the barrel again.
So this is the second time.
Mm-hmm.
someone did say, well, perhaps he might get it right this time. But
now tell me, when's this going to be scheduled? When's the convention coming up?
It is the last week in September.
September, okay. And is there a website where people can go and register?
Oh, yes, you can get onto the British, www.britishring.org.
.org, okay.
Yeah, I think it's .org. I can't remember that.
Okay, and they can sign up then for that. Now, again, you say typically you're going to have about 1,200 people that attend this down. You're going to think you're like less than 1,000?
We're down there. We would love to get 700.
If you could, well, I understand that.
Last year we had 446 at Southport.
Yeah, oh, goodness. Yeah, with all the competition. The same thing, you know, Texas Association of Magicians, you know, we used to have a lot.
So, for when I came away, we were... the numbers were 350, but people do leave it till the last minute. So
that's true.
2 months to go. We hope to get numbers. We do need 500 to break even.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it sounds like you're going to be getting that.
And if I leave any kind of legacy at the end of my term of office, it's that for the first time in a number of years, the convention won't have lost any money.
Because the last few years they have been, no, that's too bad.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there have been so many conventions then, Brian, that have started to close their doors or have decided that we are losing money. We're not going to be having another convention because we're getting too old, we're getting tired of putting it on, or whatever reason might be. Let's say like the Magi Fest, there have been several others, you know, the Desert Magic Seminar or whatever.
Yeah.
So do you see that there are younger people who are coming in that you are training who are taking your place, or do you think that this will be kind of slowly dying out too? I mean, we're here at the 75th, for an example.
Yeah,
how many more years can Greg Bordner be doing this? You know.
Yes, we were with Greg on Sunday, mm-hmm. And we were out on his boat.
Yeah.
Great hospitality, which he afforded us last time we came here, and I understand he's got a bit of competition at the moment.
Mm.
I try not to get involved in politics.
Sure, exactly.
But you may be right. He may feel that, and he's been doing it for a number of years, and this is a great shame. I read in the Genie magazine a couple of months ago when Richard Kaufman wrote this very same thing. He mentioned four different conventions in America, which are closing down this time in this year.
I had written an article in Magic Magazine about that a couple months ago.
We get people saying, well, you should be doing something more for the youngsters. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
But when I say to them, can you tell me what it is we can be doing for the youngsters? No one can actually give me an answer.
People probably want to be like Dynamo. They're seeing him, you know.
Here's the flavor of the moment.
Exactly.
Here's the flavor of the moment, and if we were to book Dynamo for the Great Yarmouth Convention, no doubt it would attract a lot of youngsters.
I think it would certainly. See, our TAOM this year, our president is Danny Garcia, you know, and he has a big following, certainly, and he has a lot of his friends who he's inviting, and, you know, who knows who's going to be showing up. I mean, I would not be surprised, like, if David Blaine would show up because he's a friend of his or something, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right. If you had Dynamo in the UK, that he's got a following, and it could... There needs to be something, and it's just that I think that for conventions to magic conventions to continue into the future, it seems that we need to recognize the youth and try to provide something for them that they want to see and do, and learn that can be outside of the internet, because there's so much, as you just said, that they can learn and see and do on the internet and DVDs and, you know, talking with friends, you know.
Yeah, I honestly do not know what the answer is. All I see, I mean, we were sitting in the theatre in Las Vegas last week, watching some great shows, and nearby there was youngsters on their
iPads,
off playing around with their playing cards, doing what I call monkey moves, not even looking at what's going on the stage.
And they're in their own world.
That's right.
Yeah,
and this is where they can learn.
Exactly.
They're not interested in the history.
That's sad but true.
I've just listened to the history of Colin and the Percy Abbott. I mean, that was absolutely fascinating.
I didn't know Abbott had come from Australia.
No.
Was that news to you too?
I was just talking to somebody else here just now.
Yeah.
They didn't know he came from Australia. I was talking to Harriet Jacobson.
Yeah.
They didn't know he came from Australia.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was fascinating. And at least the history side of magic, which I think is being left behind.
And it's unfortunate because usually there are 500 to 1,000, you know, history books that are published. I think, you know, when Mike Cadney publishes his magic words that are from on the history of different people, you know, that he only publishes about 1,000 because there's not a big audience out there. However, like when I published Banachek's books, we published, you know, 2,000 at a time, and we're in like our fourth publication of that. I mean, people are looking for ideas and not necessarily for the history of those ideas.
But do youngsters read books?
That's the other question. Good, you're right. If they do, it's probably on their iPads or on their computers or in a PDF file. You know, I get those kinds of emails all the time. You know, is Psychological Subtleties on PDF now? Well, not legally, you know.
Yeah. So Greg was telling me the other day, yeah, the youngster came in with his father into the shop looking for something in the way of card tricks, card effects, etc. He said, I showed him one or two things which he bought, but he said, the best thing you should do is to buy this particular book. It was about $10.
Mm-hmm.
The guy picked it up, looked at it, and put it down.
Okay.
Well, he could have learned so much from that book.
Yeah.
They seem to want to learn overnight. They don't have probably the patience to.
Yep. Roger Klaus told me many years ago that the three best tips he can never give anybody is to read.
Yeah.
You know, just books. And you need to look into that. Well, let's move in a different direction over here to start to kind of wrap up. About the Magic Circle. Now, you're still an officer with the Magic Circle?
I'm not an officer of the Magic Circle. No, I was treasurer, as you know, for 16 years.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And I stepped down in 2006, I think it was.
Okay.
And regrettably, they've had three treasurers since that time.
They realised how difficult the job was.
I'm not sure these interviews are going to go down too well with certain people. But
okay.
I mean, it's not really rocket science. Look, I was never an academic at school, but I was very good with numbers. And I like to think I'm still good with numbers. I ran my own business, so I knew all about finance.
Uh-huh.
And we're not talking about ICI or, you know, I mean...
Sure.
This is the Magic Circle with 1,200 members or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So now you're pretty much just a member at large and...
I'm just a member at large. I was asked last week to make a presentation to Vinnie Grosso, as he was the president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had to do this on behalf of the Magic Circle. There was no other officer there, no other person there.
Well, that's interesting, you know, because usually with the SAM, I know they have the Magic Circle hospitality or some sort of a thing that the other convention, like IBM and others, don't have.
That's
that
right.
Kind of thing,
and
so.
a few of the SAM members were, you know, why haven't we doing this anymore? Well, I'm not part of officialdom, so to speak, where the Michael Baileys and
I've
the
seen
Chris
Pratts
and
that. Yeah, Alex Bill Jackson, I remember others in the past.
That's right,
They come over and give awards, and like when someone achieves the MIMC, they give the president there. It's a big deal.
Absolutely, and all those that have got the MIMC or whatever medal, they're wearing them.
Sure.
They're wearing them.
I proudly wear my AIMC, you know, all the time. I put that after my name all the time on my stationery and everything. Yeah, I think it's important.
That's something that we should try and revive. I mean, it's only been missing for a couple of years since Michael Bailey stepped down as president.
Mm.
And then Alan Jackson came in as president, But the current president, Jack Delvin, he doesn't travel.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, okay, let me start to wrap up because I don't want to take any more of your time, Brian, but I do appreciate that. But the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. My question to you then is, what is your magic word?
My magic word?
Yeah.
Do I have a magic word?
You wouldn't have to be like abracadabra or something, you know, hocus, but is there something perhaps you live by? Is it a credo, a motto, you know, a word or a phrase or something that is important to you that you might share with others or something, again, you live by? What's Brian Miller's magic word? Or phrase?
I wish you'd have asked me this before, and I could have given it some thought. I don't really have a particular magic word.
Because after you say one, you later say, oh, Scott, I meant to tell you this was better.
No, if I think of one, I'll tell you.
Fair enough with me. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time then, Brian. So, from the UK, over here sitting out watching, getting ready to watch the sunset just before dinner, that was Brian Miller, and this is Scotty out. All right, well, I'm still over here then at Graham Putnam's dinner party, and as luck would have it, happened across John Stark. Hey, John.
Howdy, Scott.
Great to see you. But hey, howdy. That's what you're supposed to say.
That's what he said in Texan, yeah.
That's what you say, exactly. You also say, how big are those boots? How big is that hat?
I wouldn't know.
10 gallons.
No.
Okay, so, anyhow. That's right. So, busking.
Yes.
I was going to talk to you about busking. We were just chatting about that briefly. Tell me something about that. That's what they...
Well, this year, the Colon Chamber of Commerce has allocated a certain amount of money to fund some official buskers.
So you're actually paid rather than
having
to depend upon tips.
Right.
The hat.
Right. So they've got a busking schedule each day of Magic Week for 1 hour at certain locations throughout the village.
Yep.
And so these buskers are getting funded by the Chamber of Commerce. I won't give too much away, but I'll say it's not very much.
Okay.
You know, it's just sort of...
A stipend.
A stipend, yeah, exactly. And then the rest is going to be from their hat.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first year that they've done a format like this, because I know that the Chamber of Commerce was excited to have more street entertainment that the non-convention attendees could enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg Bortner at Abbott's asked me to help organize that in a way, and I organized the buskers and scheduled the people for their slots, and I only took one for myself.
How many people are there?
There's five, I think. There's one person today, one me tomorrow, and then two different people on Friday and two different people on Saturday.
So it's not like a few years ago when I was here. It seemed like you and Jania, Taylor, and everybody was out.
Well, that was about 2 or 3 years ago when they had a busking contest,
right?
Yeah. And that was different from what's going on now. And before the busking contest, there wasn't anything official.
Okay.
I'll take the credit saying that I reignited the busking in Colon, but I'm sure I didn't. But I started doing it because I was working one summer as a busker full time,
right?
And just decided to do my act and try to make a little extra cash, and that sort of got people interested in talking about doing street entertainment again.
Sure.
So yeah, I'll take the credit for it.
And so, again, this is, of course, anybody can busk if they want to, but this is the sanctioned
buskers. Yeah, this is sort of the, I'm air quoting now, the official buskers of Colon. And, you know, all the scheduled times are during the day.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, at night after the shows when everybody's partying and at the Legion and at Curly's, then who knows what might happen. I might decide to do another show for
another
my
one.
Friends. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I love your cups and balls. You do a great job
Thank
of that,
you.
By
Thank
the way,
you.
Then, too. And so do you carry those around with you when you're busking, like in bars and things, then, too?
They're in my car.
Okay.
But I don't carry them around with me.
Okay.
But, I do a lot of my main work is as a restaurant magician.
Okay.
So I'll do a chop cup for sure.
Yeah.
But the full three cups is a little too much to carry around in the restaurant.
Have you thought about using just a smaller cup? So I use like the ones for golf ball size.
I'm kind of set with my chop cup routine. And
You don't vary from that. Once you found it, you found your chi.
Yeah, exactly. I found what works for me and why change it. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Let me kind of refocus for a minute about what's going on in Chicago. Now, earlier this year, or was it last fall? I mean, you and Tomas were working at Magic Inc.
That was in October last year.
That was last year.
Yeah.
Boy, time passes.
Yeah.
And we did a podcast and I chatted with you guys. You can go back and listen to this then later. It was really great. So are you doing anything else like that? Are you keeping the...
We don't have any plans to do a double show, but, you know, we're both busy independently.
Sure.
I know he works a lot, and me, I work as a piano player, too, in Chicago. But, you know, for the...
In a whorehouse.
Something like that. Yeah, I work for the improv theaters.
Okay.
So
that was a bumper sticker years ago in Texas saying, don't tell my parents I'm in the oil industry. They think I'm a piano player in a
whorehouse.
Oh, that probably is a pretty good job. But I work as an improv piano player in some of the theaters in Chicago, and I do restaurant magic. Mm-hmm. And, the birthday party here and there.
Okay.
Plus, I've got my regular day job at Fun Incorporated, America's largest magic manufacturer.
Which is why you're here with Graham Putnam.
That's right. Graham is now my former boss.
Yes.
He retired in January this year,
sold
the business.
Yeah.
So my new owners will be here this week.
Okay. And which is who?
David and Andrew Michaels.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly when they're coming, but I know they are planning on being here this week.
Now, years ago, I remember Don was talking with us, going to take us over to Graham's and have him show us around, and how they make all this. They still make that, or is that something that we can maybe sometime in the future go and take a tour of the place?
I'm sure we'd be happy to show you around.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Kind of see how they make all the props and everything.
Yep.
Cups
and balls, Svengali decks. All those classic royal magic tricks that you remember.
Right.
Still made the old-fashioned way, with love, at our Chicago factory.
Now, how many people are employed by Fun Inc. now?
I think we're 12 or 15, I think, just offhand.
Because it was interesting, we heard this lecture Gabe Fiore gave today about the history of Abbott's.
Yes.
And said at one time there were like 56 employees or something in their heyday. And asked Greg, and he said today they have about 5 employees,
right.
I think, full and part-time, I guess, or whatever. So.
Yeah, we're not much bigger than Abbott's is now.
Yeah.
So, but, we still, we're at a different sort of, as a wholesaler and manufacturer.
Different niche.
It's a different facet of the magic industry. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. Very good, John. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Are you having a great time?
I'm having a great time. Go Magi.
What number is this for you, by the way, for the get-together?
This is number 7, I think.
7.
Number 7, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't missed one since.
Keep that 7-year itch. You want to keep coming back.
Damn right. That's right.
All right. Have a John Sirk. This is Scotty out.